off discussing the Isser of Yichud. So we said the starting point is that Yichud is always also. The question is, are there any heter, any ways to circumvent the Isser of Yichud? So the Gemara in the end of Masechet Kedushin gives us one possible heter, what's called Baila Be'ir. The first one's of Yichud with the married woman, if the married woman's husband is around town, so that seems to solve all the problems of Yichud. There is a machlokes that we showed him, whether this solves the problem even lechatchila. Rashi seems to say not. Rashi says that it's still also, it's just it's not as bad. You're not going to have malchus, but whatever it is, but it's still also. And Tosfos assumes that it's mamish mutter. Shulchan Aruch Baskin, that's mutter. We assume that there's no iser of Yichud when it's Baal Be'ir. The question is, what exactly is the reason for this? Why is there a heter of Baal Be'ir? So Rashi on the Tzugin Kedushin writes that is always considered to be a deterrent factor, that the wife's going to be afraid the husband's going to come at any given moment, so therefore it's going to be mutter. If one takes this Rashi literally, that the reason why it's mutter is because the husband's going to come momentarily, then obviously this heter will only apply if the reality is true, that the husband will really come momentarily. If the husband's not going to show up, she knows for a fact he's not going to show up, then the whole heter is going to fall by the wayside. So this is what Ramesha discusses in the Tshuva. According to Rashi, let's say the husband technically is in town, but she knows his work schedule, and he's not going to come. So he's a brain surgeon. So he just called her from the hospital saying he's about to enter into a 10-hour surgery. So she knows he's not going to walk out in the middle to come home for a nap. So that's not considered to be Baal Be'ir anymore, even though he may be, maybe the hospital's across the street from her. It doesn't matter. If there's no real fear of Duma Asi, so then that's going to be a problem. So Rav Moshe goes through technical details about depending, case by case. I lives in, a couple lives in Washington Heights, he's working in Staten Island, there's a trap, there's no trap, okay. The bottom line is you have to make a cheshbon, you have to make a hashara. Is it realistic that the person's going to show up or not? If it's realistic that it's mutter, if not, then it's going to be a problem. So the Rambam doesn't present the heter of Baal Be'ir in this manner. The Rambam presents the heter as Amos Baal Alea. So the word Ema has a connotation like Ema, like a Yiras Ravus type of a thing. It means the wife is in a certain mind frame that she knows the husband's around. Doesn't mean he's going to literally pop in at any moment's notice, but he's around. His presence is felt. So there, that's called Amos Baal Alea. So when the Gemara says Masechet Sota about the Mus Diukno Shel Aviv Niraloi, that means Yosef felt the closest. He felt the pachad of his father Yaakov Avinu's presence. So that's what the Gemara means. The heter of Baal Be'ir according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's going to be a much more encompassing heter. According to the Rambam, you don't have to start to do the math and figure out how long it takes to drive from Brooklyn to Washington Heights. It means if Al Pi Din, it's considered to be the same city, so then it would be okay, even if it's not practical for the husband to actually come back. Even according to the Rambam, it still has to be Ba'ir, it still has to be Baal Be'ir. So how much is considered to be Ba'ir? So we know that the word Ir has different meanings in different areas of Allah. And Ir means something different in Uchas Tchum Shabbos than it means in Uchas Chris and Megillah, let's say. So what does Ba'ir mean here? It's a little bit unclear. L'chora, based on this understanding of the Rambam, that it's not so much a practical thing that husband's going to come, Mestamet should be more tally on the feed das b'nei adam. What do people consider? If you ask the wife, she's not such a lamb, she never learned the halachas of your miklot and tchum shabbos and rivua ears and kates ma'abra, she never learned that. You just ask the tachas, do you consider the husband to be in town right now? The husband around right now? Do you feel his closeness right now? So if the answer is yes, that would be a problem. Let's say, Lamashal, say a couple lives in Teaneck and the husband happens to be in Bergenfield right now. So you're going to tell me, oh, that's not called Baal Be'ir because they pay different taxes because Teaneck streets get plowed in the winter and Bergenfield don't get us. That's a new year. That's ridiculous. That's not considered to be a different year. That's all the same thing. But let's say the wife is in Teaneck, the husband's in Englewood. I don't know. So even though you probably could walk and shop from Teaneck to Englewood, but I don't know whether I call it the same year. I'm not sure whether people psychologically feel that's the same year. It comes out a little bit funny because let's say you have somebody lives in the tip of Riverdale, the husband's working in the bottom of Staten Island. So it's technically the same year. It's definitely New York City. Do people consider that to be the same year? I don't know. It's a hard call. At what point you draw it to call it a Baal Be'ir? But according to the Rambam, it's more of a heter than according to Rashi. So there are Mekilim, there are those who want to rely on the Rambam, the Yesh HaMilis, to rely on this more extended version of Baal Be'ir. You don't have to measure and count each time whether the husband's literally going to come or not. There are some chumras within the realm of Baal Be'ir that the Chayodim suggests, some chumras, where if the Chayodim would be accepted, so then that would pretty much knock out the whole kula of Baal Be'ir. So the Chayodim suggests that the whole heter of Baal Be'ir only works under the following circumstances, that the wife is in a certain place where the husband is naturally going to come to it. So in the old days, how far did the women go? So the wife was home, so that's called the Baal Biyah. The husband would walk in any given moment. Let's say the husband has no idea where the wife went to. So she went somewhere else. She has an appointment somewhere. He has no idea where she went. But it happens to be in the same city. So the Chayyadim says, what kind of Baal HaBi'ir is that? That's not going to work for Baal HaBi'ir. So Lechor, that Chumr the Chayyadim is going to be Ikvis Rashi. That's working with Rashi's assumption that the wife is really afraid the husband's going to come. The husband doesn't know what address to go to, so he's not going to come. But if you go with the Rambam's approach, that Baal HaBi'ir is more encompassing in terms of Amos Baal HaBi'ir, so then Mistama, that would be okay as well. There's a second chumr that the Chayyadim says, that also if you accept this chumr, it's going to knock out the heter of Baal HaBi'ir very often. The Chayyadim argues that the heter of Baal HaBi'ir only applies in a situation where the husband doesn't know mitchila that the woman is being misyacheres with this person. Let's say, for example, so the husband goes off to work, he works across the street, and the wife tells him, by the way, later today, the plumber's coming to fix the bathtub or something. So that would not be a cool of Baal HaBi'ir. Why? Because when the husband walks into the house, he's not going to be shocked to see the plumber there. His wife told him an hour ago that the plumber's coming. Baal HaBi'ir means that the husband's going to walk in, he's going to see a strange man in the house. Whoa, he's going to go nuts, going to go bazooties. So that mirsus, that fear that the woman has, that she's going to be caught, not she's going to be caught mamish being mizan, she's going to be caught just stomping in the same house with a strange man. So that in and of itself will serve as a tremendous mirsus that she won't be chote. But if the husband walks in and sees the plumber there, so he won't have a bad night. He's not even going to look what's going on. He's going to walk right in, get up his lunch, take a nap, and leave. So that's not going to create that type of a mirsus. So according to the Chayyadim, it would come out that 99% of the time we rely on this heter of Baal HaBi'ir. The husband knows exactly what's going on. The wife just called him and said, hi, somebody came, my cousin came over to visit, and the two of us were having coffee together, whatever. And the husband says, great. So according to the Chayyadim, that's an issue gomer of Yichud, because since the husband will walk into the house and he won't be shocked to find them together, so that in of itself will undermine what Baal HaBi'ir was trying to accomplish. So others disagree, not everyone agrees to this Chayyadim's cheshbon. Especially if you go with the Rambam, the Pseima, so just stop that it's not such a cheshbon, he's going to come, he will come, won't come, should come, would come. Just the fact that he's around town, that in of itself creates the proper Eima, the proper aura, and maybe that in of itself is enough to serve as a deterrent. So again, some folks can have a lot of chumras in this realm of Baal HaBi'ir, but others are a little bit more meikil. The Gemara has a limitation on Baal HaBi'ir, the Tetra Baal HaBi'ir doesn't apply if it's libel gaspa, that if the man and the woman are being miyachi together, have a certain relationship, they grew up together, they're close friends, whatever it was, they're related, whatever it is, there is a certain closeness there, so that also undermines the heter of Baal HaBi'ir. The Chayyadim claims the reason why it undermines the heter is based on his svara, that when the husband walks in and sees she's having coffee with her cousin, so even though he didn't know mitchila, but he's not shocked, he doesn't think, oh no, something's fishy going on, he's going to start to get suspicious. So no, he sees, he knows, they're good friends for the last 20 years, they're related to each other, so he doesn't think twice about it, so that undermines the heter of Baal HaBi'ir. Others who don't go that route of the Chayyadim, so Mustama, they have to learn pshat in libel gaspa differently. Libel gaspa just means that the odds are better, they're going to be chote, it's all a game of odds. It means the Isra of Yichud is given to us in a situation where there's a real fear that they're going to be chayte. So we have certain deterrents that the Halach is Keveya, that Baal HaBi'ir, we'll see others, Pesach Pesuch, Shizur Abim, other possible deterrents, so that lowers the possibility of being chayte. Once you reach the point that it's highly unlikely they're going to be chayte, B'chayeg Abim, the Torah never prohibited, or the Chum never, whatever the case is, they never prohibited the Isra of Yichud. So when you have Baal HaBi'ir, so that makes it much less likely that they're going to be chayte. On the other hand, possibly outweighing that deterrent is the fact that it's libel gaspa. Libel gaspa means $1,000 in the last 20 years. So that in of itself is more of a reason to believe that there may be a chait going on here. So again, if you go with the root of the chayodim, that libel gaspa undermines the mirsas because it doesn't make the husband shocked when he walks in. That's one approach to libel gaspa. But the more, maybe the more conventional, the simpler pshat, the less exciting pshat of libel gaspa is just that it's more realistic that they're actually going to be chote together. But no matter how you slice it, there is a din of libel gaspa, it's a din in the Gemara, so one has to be careful about that. It's always hard to be magdir, who's called libel gaspa exactly, you know, how close is close to be called libel gaspa, but the chashash libel gaspa, one has to be more careful, one would not be permitted to rely on the kula of Baal HaBi'ir. So again, the basic heter of Baal HaBi'ir exists, machlokes Rashi and Rambam, what the two reasons to understand it are, a few possible nafkaminas. There is another cloud that appears in the Gemara that seems to be somewhat related to Baal HaBi'ir, but it's really the opposite. That's called Ishto Imo. So let's say a person wants to be miyachim with a woman, and the woman's husband is not around, or it's a single woman, but his wife happens to be around. So does that qualify as a heter to servants of the Torah for Yichud. So here, most of the poskim assume that the Gemara uses a different lashon for a specific reason. The Gemara doesn't say Ishto Ba'ir. The Gemara says Ishto Imo. So what's the difference between Baila Ba'ir in contrast to Ishto Imo? So the answer is very simple. Baila Ba'ir means anywhere the husband is in town is sufficient as a deterrent. Ishto Imo means the wife is mamish there. But the most poskim hold that if the wife just happens to be, say, there in Manhattan, and the wife is in Brooklyn or something, that's not going to work. That's not called Ishto Imo. That's called Ishto Ba'ir. But Chazal will never matter Ishto Ba'ir. They will only matter if it's Ishto Imo. There's one day in Achrenim who equates Baila Ba'ir to Ishto Imo, but the nice of those posts can go, I don't think I follow that. So what does Ishto Imo mean? So either of the wife, Mamash, literally, she's in the room. Or the posts can say, she's Mamash, also Chotzer, let's say, for argument's sake. There's a very common child. Let's say a person is if a man together with a babysitter in the house, right? So let's say a non-Jewish Ozer, whatever, the babysitter is in the house together, and the wife's home, so it's fine. The wife goes out of the house for 1 second. She goes across the street to get a container of milk. So you're going to say, oh, Sean, that's it. There's an Instagram where you got to jump out of the house because the wife left. That's not called Ishto Imo. Pasha says that's not true. That's called Ishto Imo. I mean, she's mamish across the street. She's coming. Mamish is split second. That's like also chotzer. I think that would be okay. If the wife, let's say, goes off shopping or somewhere, so she may spend a long time shopping. So that could be a problem. That may be by Lavir, but that's not Ishto Imo, and you require Ishto Imo in order to be matir yichud. There is a second heter of the Yichud that Gemara has in Maseches Kedushin, the fourth prayer, called Pesach Pesuach L'Shesarabim. The Gemara says if you have a man and a woman together and there's a doorway opening to the street, so that's considered to be enough of a deterrent to permit Yichud. So there is a machlekes, a poskim, Peschet Shuvah quotes as to what does Pesuach mean. The word Pesuach in Lashon HaKodesh can mean one of two things. Either it can mean the door is unlocked or it can mean the door is mamish swung open, mamish wide open. So what does it mean here? So there are some poskim will make, as long as it's not locked, it's okay. And others, although it's got to be mamish wide open. So the Emma says, the later post can point out that it's not so much of an afkamin ladina. But the real approach we should take is how realistic is that somebody's going to come in. So sometimes if you have a door that's unlocked, if it's visibly unlocked, so sometimes people will walk in, depending on what kind of community you live in. Sometimes people will walk in if the door is swung open. Sometimes people won't walk in, even if the door looks like it's wide open. So it's going to depend on the time and place. It depends how heinous your community is. If you live in like a little bungalow colony, or you live in Washington Heights apartments or something, so people come in and walk in at all times at whatever they want. So that would be okay. That would, not necessarily that's such a good idea, but that would be okay in terms of yichud, even if the door is not mamisha wide right open. If it's common that people would walk in, so that would constitute Pesach Pesuach L'Shesarabim. If you live in a normal place where people don't just spazier into other people's apartments, so then even though the door is open, who would ever walk in? Unless you argue, maybe the super will walk in, maybe a concerned neighbor may knock on the door and then peek his head in. Okay, so you have to size up each case. Does that qualify as Pesach Pesuach L'Shesarabim? If it does, then it's mutter. If it doesn't, then it's going to be a problem. The Nedev Yehuda has a tshuva where he writes that Pesach Pesuach L'Shesarabim. Yeah, it doesn't mean 600,000 people. Yeah. It means an area with a few people around. Yeah. The Yehuda has a tshuva where he writes, let it say you have an area that a man and woman having yichud in, and the door is not open, but the window is uncovered, so anyone can see through. The shades are not covering the window, anybody can see in. So the Yehuda says that's Eilucha Pesach Pesuch Rishisram Godem Mizel, because that's going to work. Again, it's only if it's realistic. That guy lives on the 38th floor, so who's going to see you in? No one's going to see you. If you live on the ground floor, if someone really could peek in. It depends also where your window is. If your window's all the way back, it's hard to see in. Some are not going to work. But if it's easily, people are going to walk by the street and see right through your window. So if you're in that part of the house where they can see you, if you're back in a back room somewhere which is not exposed, of course that's going to be a problem. But if you're in an area which is easily visible from the window, that would be okay. I once had an interesting shayla when I was inside a kedushin once, that we have our practices that we have yichud right after the chuppah in order to fulfill the shittas around them. The Ram says that the chuppah the Chazal was speaking about the nisuin is dafka yichud haroi labiyat mechlekes rishonim. So lechatchila we try to fulfill the shittas around them also. So it has to meet the criteria of yichud. It has to be something that would have been otherwise an isra yichud. So one time I was in Sada Kedushin, an out of town place, and I come to the yichud room and I notice there are windows in the yichud room which are uncovered, which are opening up to the parking lot. So everybody in the parking lot could see mamash into the yichud room. So I told him, you can't have yichud in this room. It's not a yichud room. So the problem was there was no other room. Whatever, kids, a caterer said he can't, and the wedding planner said he can't. That's actually the hard way, you don't fight with wedding planners. So one time I was in Sada Kedushin with somebody, and was supposed to sign the prenuptial agreements with them. It was also an out-of-town wedding, so I hadn't had a chance to sign the prenuptial agreements with them before, and so I came a little bit before the chassan's tish. I went upstairs to where the kala was, and I wanted her to sign on the prenups. So the wedding planner comes out, and she says to me, we're not off the rosh, she had no idea who I was. She said, you cannot bother the kala, she's not allowed to sign anything now, and I said, she said to me, I don't care who you are. I said, you can't... I said, okay, I'm not going to be Messiah Kedushin then. So that got a whole nervous, and then we got it aside. Anyway, so the... And the girl came out and started screaming at the wedding planner. Said, don't you know this, Rabbi Sablowski? What do you mean you can't sign? Anyway, so I tried to argue with the caterer to try to move the yichud room somewhere else, and it was going to the shkelf, but it didn't work. So we had to improvise a little bit. So I noticed that if you go into the side of the room, so it really wasn't visible from the window, it's a very big room. So I told him, okay, so stay in the yichud room all the way in the corner, so that way it would be a good yichud, so therefore it would have been a nisa yichud, and therefore it's going to serve as a good yichud to fulfill the shittas and rambam. But there was a small technical problem that the table was set up with the food right smack in the middle, which was visible to the parking lot. So when you were sacked, you have to improvise also. So I became the assistant caterer, so I moved the whole table myself and moved everything over to the corner, and it made a nice little cozy corner in the yichud room away from the public eye in terms of the window, so we create a yichud even according to the Nedi Behuda. Anyway, so this idea that if you can see through a window, that can serve to break up the Issa Yichud, that's the Chapesach Pesuch of Rabim. This is the source for the discussion that the contemporary Boskim have in terms of cars. Is there a problem of Yichud in a car or not? So, L'chora, a car should be the same as a Pesach Pesuch of Rabim. You can see through the window. Unless you have some, tinted Washington Heights style windows, you can't see through. Okay, but assume we're dealing with people who don't drive cars like that, especially not the front windows. It's against the law to have front windows tinted. So the Poskim point out, l'chora, based on what we're saying, it should be a simple power to the rule of Pesach Pesuch of Rabim, then I'd be doing that. L'chora, a window should be good. So Rav Moshe has a very difficult tshuva about this. Rav Moshe suggests that maybe driving a car should be a nisi yichud for a different reason. He says, even though right now it's Pesach Pesuch L'Shus Rabim, you could pull off the road so easily. You'll just get off a side road somewhere with the mountains or on the FDR drive. You go off to the side, the corner, and it would be, oh, it's Pesach Pesuch L'Shus Rabim. So you're not allowed to be miyachid in a situation where it's easily going to become a not Pesach Pesuch L'Shus Rabim. So well, yeah, everyone asks in Rav Moshe, Im Kein, and the whole heter of Pesach Pesuch L'Shus Rabim just fell by the wayside. So how could the Gemara have such a heter? Miko, you can close the door. So how could I say that you wanted to be in the house with the door wide open? Maybe you're going to close the door right away. So it's very hard to understand what Rav Moshe meant. I think that most of the later poskim didn't accept that. I think that many poskim assumed that cars v'ikaron are permissible in terms of yichud. The only problem is some poskim on the ora that it has to be realistically pesuch l'shus rabim, and that's going to change according to the time and place. So let's say you're driving somewhere really late at night. So it depends where you're driving from. So if you're driving, we had a bar mitzvah yesterday. It was past Kiryat Gat, so it was almost at Ashkelon. It was all at the end by the Mishnah, what gives you the Gvul's Aret. So it was about pretty much. It was just about the end of the Gvul. So when we were driving back late last night, there were very few cars on the road there. So I don't know. Maybe you could argue that that's not called the Pesach Pesuch L'Shus Rabim anymore. Or let's say a person's driving up from camp. So you're driving back from camp on route. It's a good route. That's a good side street route. 247, 370, 191. Some of those are up there by Hancock. So 2 o'clock in the morning, there aren't too many people on the roads. So maybe one could argue that that's not called a Pesach L'Shus Rabim. There's some posts coming up like that. So it's quoted from Rabbi Yashiv, such an idea, that he says that you have to size up according to the time and place. If every 10 minutes or so there's another car, so the stomach that's good enough. But if you have 10 minutes and there's no cars, so that's not called the Pesach L'Shus Rabim. I think others disagree. It appears from Shlomo Zalman that he didn't go with any of these shiurim. He seemed to assume that that's always called. I don't know, maybe there are certain roads in Eretz Yisrael that are mom are so desolate, but even in America, even the country roads, there's always somebody, there's always a car, there's always a bear, there's always a deer, something or other that comes your way. So, I don't know, it's hard to say that there's any road that's mom is not Pesuch L'Shus Rabim. You're driving in the middle of Alaska, maybe you can argue that's not called Pesuch L'Shus Rabim.
According to the way that many
of
what? Very likely someone should come.
No, no, unlock the door. According to Moshe Svar, that even though it's Pesach Pesuch now, but if it could easily become not Pesuch, that's a problem. So then what's the whole head to a Pesach Pesuch?
By a house, if you know that people are going to be coming to your house, if you lock the door, that's okay.
Then. No, no, no. Oh, you mean, can it be Pesach Pesuach if I know people have the keys? Okay, that's also Pesach Pesuach. If let's say I have a house, forget about the remotion story. I have a house, and I'm locking the door, but I know there are 20 people who have the keys to the house, and they're all around. If I have 20 people who have the keys, they're all in Eretz Yisrael now, and the house is in Bergenfield, that's a problem. But if there are 20 people around, let's say in my house, it's almost not shy to get into my house, because there's a combination lock, and the shul opens up into the house. People come and go all the time. The guy comes to learn. It's a safe guy. It's talos there. So it's very common that people come and go. I mean, even if you don't have 20 people every day, but 20 people could come in at any given moment. So maybe that's not. Maybe that's also called the best of social issues around. What? And like 2 seconds. Okay. So anyway. Based on this idea, then I knew that you would have to then go ahead and be down in the car. So if you take the approach from a Moshe, it's going to knock all the cars out of the story. If you go with the approach of the other post, given the car story will still be okay, then you have different nuances, just how realistic is that. I don't know, based on my own drive in the mountains, I think even the deserted mountain roads, are still there's always that fear that there's going to be somebody's going to come by. So I don't know. I'm not sure that one is required to be back with them. Moshe himself, Moshe writes his tshuva about when somebody asks you to give a ride back to the mountains. So that's the famous shaila where Moshe was asked. A woman comes in the Bungalow colony on Sunday night, wants a ride back to New York. So you're allowed to give it to her now. So Moshe first writes no, then he writes maybe yeah, then another. So I think that there are mekilim. As long as you're within the normal, pretty much parameters of normal driving, you're not out on then some, a road that doesn't exist somewhere, some stumble, one could probably be a little more makeable about that. So, okay. So. Tomorrow we're on. What's the schedule tomorrow? Just to figure out what's going on.
I think we need to make a shear trip.
Shear trip, that doesn't affect you.